Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello! You are very welcome to this episode 13 of the Hairy Bikers Agony Uncles. I'm Uncle Dave.
And I'm Uncle Si, and this is your weekly delve into the problems of the nation, where Uncle Dave and I try and provide solutions to your traumas and troubles.
I'm not sure about this Uncle bit, King. It's a bit sinister, isn't it? You know? Anyway, sinister or not, look at this. That's our award, mate. You got that's one it. Too. Fortnum & Mason's Personality of the Years. This is the third time.
I know. I was looking at it while I was sat in the loo. And I was, because that's where I go, you know, so you've got time to appreciate what you've won. And yeah, there's three of them there. I can't get any more on my shelf.
You can. You can. Don't be mean. Yeah. Anyway, that's our news this week. She's rather fabulous. It's been a great tonic. Yeah. This has been one of the highlights. It's been really good. I couldn't go, but you were there with my good lady, and you represented us admirably, Mr. King. I was very proud of you. Very proud of you on this morning as well. It was really odd watching you. I know it was odd for you being there cooking your chicken and spinach curry, but it made me really hungry. You were brilliant.
Oh, that's good. Thanks, bro. That's good. That's high praise indeed. Thank you.
No. Did you have a good week?
I was busy, but it was good, and it was very odd without you, because, you know, we're joined at the hip. So it was good. It was good. It's nice to see Lil at the Fortnum and Mason's Award at the end of the week. That was epic. So that was really good.
Yeah, and the you know, it's been such good news with the book doing so well as well. You've been doing great on that. We're doing all right. Onward and upward.
Indeed. So, and now remember, if you want to get in touch with the show, our email address is agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. Now, again, agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk.
And posing the problems today, without Worcester, it's Jeeves.
Hey.
Do you get that?
A sort of PG Woodhouse thing there, I think. But yes, hello, lovely to see you. We've just got a quick question to do here, because you've had loads of questions as well as all of your messages, as you were saying. This is from Mark Jonathan George Mason. Fabulous name. Who was on
what
Twitter.
What a great name. Mark, I bet he couldn't get George that in his duffel bag when he was little.
His mum had his name tags in. Oh, man. It was just Mark.
That label on his gym shorts had gone round his waist, wouldn't it?
His question is for you, Uncle Si and Uncle Dave. What was the first vinyl you ever bought? I thought that might be interesting to start. What was the first vinyl you ever bought with your own money?
I saved up. It was £8. And it was Thin Lizzy's Live and Dangerous.
Great album.
I saved up, and mine was Jethro Tull, Thick as a Brick. Yeah.
Wow.
Wise men don't know how it feels to be thick as a brick. I used to stand on one leg with my flute, but I didn't have a flute, so I used a stick.
Well, with that image of you standing on one leg with a stick.
One leg with a stick,
we'll move on. Excellent. Well, lovely problems coming up for you in today's show.
And she's back like a 5-carat diamond in the world of cubic zirconia. It's Posh Dash. I couldn't help it. Sorry. I just, you know, it's just, we love you dearly, but you're posh.
Well, it's saying that I'm wearing my dungarees today, actually, so I don't feel quite as posh. I've gone workman-like.
Oh, I love that. Do you know I've got a bit of a weird thing about white T-shirts and dungarees?
Jungarees?
Jungarees. No, I
want
to know that.
What's a jungaree, Kingy? What's a jungaree?
I got my words mixed up because you know where I was going, but anyway.
Should I button myself up with my two
yes,
pieces
of pearls? Yes, please. With your pearl.
What was that nightclub in Las Vegas we went to where all the ladies wore dungarees and danced on the bar?
Thingy Coyote.
Oh!
Coyote Ugly.
Coyote Ugly, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I had to leave. I couldn't cope.
Anyway, Simon, it's problem time.
Yes.
So, hit that jingle.
Hitting it.
Hello, hairy bikers. Here is my request. I have got a problem that I must get off my chest. Won't you listen to my story like a hairy jackanory? Cause I heard your advice is the best.
On today's Trestle Table of Trauma, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave, and Posh Tash, you'll be casting your compassion over these problems of the day. We have avoiding tummy troubles. We have his snoring is so boring. We have saying no to nappies. And in confidential corner, my 76-year-old love dilemma. But we're going to start with avoiding tummy troubles, and this is an email that came in from Ali. He says, Dear Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, I'm very excited because in the next couple of months, hopefully, I'll be travelling to the place I've always wanted to visit, India. Ever since I watched your Hairy Bikers Rides Again series in India, I've been desperate to go and I'm determined to enjoy the whole experience. But everyone I speak to says I'd better be prepared to sit on the loo a lot because you're bound to get ill from the food. Is there any advice you can give me to try and avoid getting poorly while I'm away? I want to spend as much time as I can loving the place rather than feeling rubbish. Thank you so much. And that comes from Ali.
We never got sick in India, did we?
No, never.
Never. Never. There was one person on the crew who got sick, and it was the most... He was a camera assistant. I don't like Indian food. So he was the one who always ordered... Wherever you go in India, it'll always be the British alternative, like spaghetti bolognese or the carbonara that's been in the back of the fridge for ages. And he was sick as a dog. Me and you, street food, nothing. It's cooked fresh. You know, it's deep fried. The South Indian vegetarian food, we've never been healthier.
There is a mindset whereby that people that visit India go, oh. Now, a tummy bug doesn't go, oh, you're a Northern European and that's an Indian person. So I'm going to infect you instead. If the food is bad, they'll infect both. It doesn't make a difference. So if... There's somebody, as Dave says, we ate the street food, we ate everything. That street food vendor, just wait a couple of days, see if he'll come back to the same place, it'll be a busy stall. Now, he's probably been there for at least three generations. And if he's still there, he's not poisoning people. So normally, quid pro quo, everybody on the street has their own spot, their own vending vibe. And it's, as Dave said, beautifully fresh. Couple of things to avoid, salad. Not the easiest because the water's not as clean as we would want. So just keep an eye on that. Drink bottled water. Most of the stuff that you get is from waterborne bugs, not the food.
Ice cubes as well. Watch ice cubes in your drink. I remember once I got off a train. I was going through Karnataka, like a rural region, and I was hungry. And on the platform, I saw the most perfect traveller's food. There was a bloke there with trays and trays of eggs. And what he was doing is, I jumped off the train, three eggs in a pan, hot fat, come back, yum yum, omelette wrapped in naan bread. Now, people on the train, the Europeans go, are you sure about it? It's an egg, it's come out the shell, and it's been hot fat. And you can go hungry, mate. And I had this, one of the nicest free-range omelettes. But it's funny, isn't it? I think most of, you know, we did very well in India. There are countries where we have had trouble, but it's basically been down to hygiene and people not washing their hands when they've been for a poo, to be.
Yeah, but do you not also think there is something, there's also something to the stomach, forget the salmonella and the poisoning, but if you're a Brit who's been eating fairly basic food and doesn't do many spices, then you go over and you go somewhere like India where everything is full of spice, the spice in itself can affect your stomach, and then they blame it on... food poisoning. It's actually, did you not think it's just the chili effect, or I don't know?
No,
like that.
Tash, no, because the thing is that we have a very intimate relationship. Our national favourite national dish is an anglicised curry from India. We have that relationship. We can eat. Fortunately, one of the best countries in Europe to eat around the world, and most in the capital and provincial city. So I kind of think we're used to it. If you've lived on Yorkshire puddings and mince and tatties all your life, then maybe, but I don't think so. I think we've got a pretty eclectic palate.
But a lot of the spices as well, I can never pronounce it Ayurvedic, or, you know, is that the right pronunciation?
Yeah, Ayurvedic.
A lot of them are very healthy. Things like cumin and turmeric actually settle your stomach. Mm-hmm. And I always remember when we were in Morocco and we were ill, one of the things that the ladies gave us was basically cumin and water, which is hellish to get down, but it doesn't have to settle your tummy. So actually, as we're talking specifically about Indian food, a lot of the Indian food can in fact be medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we run so well on it, didn't we?
We did, mate. We did. And also, as Dave and I have said in the past, there's like 20,000 years of alchemy gone into food making you feel better. And just eat it, and it will make you feel better. It's not, there's this mad schism when people go from Northern Europe to India that's just not there. It's in your heads. It's not there.
A wives' tale, isn't it?
It is.
I did get a bit nervous when I was in Cambodia and there was a big market and that's the food different. Wasn't ready cooked. So it wasn't cooked food something to eat, but it was the market and there were just chickens, raw chickens, lying out in the heat on a sheet on the street. And then I got nervous. I'm going, that's not for me. That's surely got to be. Yeah, breeding salmonella. But the actual street vendors, I didn't mind it. They were fine.
Yeah, well, the Medina in Marrakesh is quite odd because a lot of the food, their most fabulous food. But what you look down is you're better off to eat off paper because they'll have a bucket under the table. They dip the plates in and wipe them with a cloth.
Ooh, yeah.
So actually, it's the plate that's causing the problem. One time in India, actually, I did get sick. And it was funny. It was very early days. And it was, you know, I did everything that they said. I took my... anti-malarial things. It was chloroquine one a day. Is it Paludrin? I can't remember the things. But once a week you took one of them. And I can't remember which. And ironically, it was in an area that didn't have malaria, so it was that Brit thing. You know, I took it because I better be sure. But funnily enough, once a week I had the trots, and it took about 2 weeks. But it dawned on me that it was every time I took me anti-malarial tablet. So you know, there's me blaming this beautiful little restaurant in Goa. Not at all. It was largely unnecessary, in my opinion. I'm not saying to ignore the advice of the government, but you know what I mean?
I would.
No, you wouldn't.
No, we haven't.
We haven't, but you know, if it's not malarial, you can't just put that to a whole country, can you, really?
No, of course not.
Nah. But no, I think just I don't know. No, India was a big thumbs up, wasn't it, for us with food?
I've never been, actually, and I've loved it. So I've been a lot of the world, but not India, and I'd love to go, love to.
Amazing country, kind, genuinely kind people, love sharing their stories, very gentle folk.
Are there certain areas that are better for the food that you went to? No, it's amazing all along.
Yeah,
Tash, we don't know because India, you forget, it's so huge and diverse. So really, we can't speak with authority on that.
Yeah, true.
Okay. We know kind of Mumbai and Goa and then the southern India. But the rest of it, that's an adventure we need to explore further.
Food makes everything better.
Well, your next problem, Uncle Ty and Uncle Dave, is his snoring is boring. And I do need a lady's name for this. So Uncle Dave, would you give us a lady's name, please?
Beryl.
Hello, Uncle Ty and Uncle Dave. I love your podcast. I'm hoping I can benefit from your advice and wisdom. I've been with my partner for 3 years. We live together, and on the whole, we get on well, until it comes to bedtime. And then I've actually considered homicide. My partner has always snored, but in recent months it's become worse, and it's becoming unbearable. It's not just when he lies on his back. It's when he's on his side, on his front, and sometimes even when he says he's not asleep. I already sleep with earplugs in, but they do nothing to block out what sounds like a broken bulldozer. And when friends stay, they can hear him from the other end of the house. He won't go to a doctor or try snoring aids. He says it's my sensitivity that's the problem, not his snoring. And I don't want to start taking sleeping tablets, because when he's not in bed, I sleep perfectly. Is it me or is it him being stubborn? I don't know what else to try. And it's reached a point where it's an ongoing argument. Any advice welcome, says Beryl.
Oh, Beryl, I can sympathise with you. Many is the time I've shared a room with Simon King. Indeed, cabins on boats. And sometimes it's like sharing a room with a wild boar on a spit. It's that noisy. I always remember, oh dear, do you remember that yacht? Your head was only 6 inches from the roof of the cabin, and I was the other side of the cabin. And I swear blind, the vibrations shot straight across the fiberglass roof, straight through my cerebellum for hours on end. Beryl.
I love
Sorry,
that.
Sorry,
Si. It's true, though. I'm sleeping on my own, so I couldn't give a shit at the minute. but poor Dave has gone through it through all different parts of the world. Yeah, Kingy, what? Lie on your side, dude. Right, okay. Is that all right? No. And then it just gets progressively more violent as we go through the evening together. It's hilarious.
I also think the red wine, I need to ask her, does he drink red wine? Because red wine isn't evil for snoring.
Really?
I'm not a snorer at all, but if I have red wine, I am elbowed in the night. And I couldn't think of anything worse than a woman snoring. I find that this must be one of the most unattractive things ever in the world. I'm mortified to think I might do it. But give me a glass of red wine and I will snore.
Oh.
Tash, ladies do snore. They break wind as well.
Oh, yes, they
honestly.
Do.
And they don't.
Oh, no. Of course you don't.
I used to snore when my collar size was 18 and a half. Yeah. And I think you'll find the same, King, because you don't snore like you did. Because when we lost the weight around your neck, which is the first thing doctors will tell you to do, is, you know, get your collar size down because the pressure's, you know, it's better on your neck. But then there's all sorts of problems like sleep apnea, which you've got to watch out for. It can be really dangerous. But Mrs. Myers has been known to snuffle occasionally, and I'm saying no more, so I'm not being disrespectful.
It's probably best.
I bought some noise-cancelling earbuds. They're not these ones that do like a tone or anything in your ear. They just block it, and they work a treat, actually. So end of problem, wow. Really. Charge them up every day. I stuff them in my ears every night. I take them with me as well when I'm away. And I'm in my own little private Idaho.
I find that really scary because I know I've got a lot of friends for all various reasons, snoring children, just like who all wear earplugs at night. But I just think I would be so scared of not hearing something I should hear. What if someone broke in? Or what if? Or, I don't know, what if the phone rang and someone... I can't bear the thought that I'd be lost in my ears. I'd rather have the snoring.
You know, Tash, I'm just picking up that there is a slight hint of neuroses to your character. I'm just saying.
I lay there looking beautiful. I make no noises, no smells. I'm just, you know, I hear everything around me. The twinkling of the birds, it's perfect.
Yeah, yes, of course.
Mary Poppins is alive.
Yes. And singing and dancing.
I used to snore terribly. I think I still do rattle now and again. But one thing, there was in a dim and distance past, there was somebody made me tie a towel around my waist with a knot at the back. So if I lay on my back, the knot dug in my kidneys and I'd roll on my side.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is it worth it?
No, it didn't last. The relationship didn't last, I tell you that. I'd go into bed like a sumo wrestler with his jock strap had slipped. You know, it was a bit of a wrong one, really. We're doing our day skippers course, weren't we? We're qualified as yacht skippers, actually. To you, Tash. We went out of, you know, around Cowes and around there, yeah.
Yes.
Our yacht. And we're both qualified skippers. But because we're mates, we decided that we were the ones that shared a cabin because obviously we knew each other. So everybody else on the boat got a good night's sleep. But the next day, we were ratty as out, weren't we?
My husband's got a story. He has got a friend that snored appallingly. They went away together, shared a room. Friends start snoring, horrific. So my husband thinks, that's it. I'll take the pillow, go to the bath, tries to sleep in the bath. Can't really get to sleep, still hear the snoring, and then eventually passes out, let's say 5 a.m. And then his mate gets up after a good night's sleep and comes into the bathroom and sits down on the loo and wakes him up an hour later, going, all right, mate, what are you doing in there? I'll never go away with him again.
Well, I don't know. If he's got a problem, see if he can fix it. But then buy some of these noise-cancelling earbuds, stick some plugs in and put up with it. It's for better or worse, isn't it?
That's told Beryl.
Yeah, better or worse, to be fair, yeah.
Better or worse, Beryl, snoring. All right.
Yeah, just, yeah. But tell me, I think he's been a bit insensitive, saying it's her sensitivities. If she's keeping awake at night, just hit him with a pool cue.
Last episode, it was a cricket bat. Now it's a pool cue.
Sensitive man. We wonder why he's alone.
I know.
This is Geordie Tough Love, isn't it, really?
Geordie Tough Love.
Yeah, where the King family meet the Bacons.
If you got problems, you'll be fine. Just drop the agony uncles a line.
Your next problem today is called saying no to nappies. And it comes from Steve. He says, Dear Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, I live with a lovely lady. We have a 5-month-old baby boy. He's fab. As my wife earns much more than me, I elected to be a stay-at-home dad, and I love it. Apart from one thing. I have nappy anxiety. I was always a bit rubbish at them. My wife insists we use reusable ones, and they're a bit of a faff. Ooh. But I was getting on okay until one day, a short while ago, our son had done his business, as usual, and as usual, it had all gone up his back. So I was cleaning up when, unannounced, he did another one. A sort of carpet bomb poo, which managed to reach from my crotch to my face. It was the most vile thing that I've ever experienced. Some of it actually went up my nose. Yeah, I swear I can still smell it. Since then, I've had a problem, which I've managed to solve in one of two ways. I either take him to the old lady next door when he needs changing. She seems to like that. But if she's out, I go to the bottom of the garden with a watering can of warm water. I hold my son in one hand. I let the nappy fall off onto the grass and then shower him down with the watering can. I then retrieve the nappy with a stick and put it straight into the washing machine. Problem is, he's getting heavier and the bottom of the garden is starting to smell now, so I don't think I can do this for much longer. Any advice on how to get over my issue? P.S. My wife doesn't know about this. That comes from Steve. Over to you.
God. Look, Steve, it's your son. Now, if you cannot change your son's nappy, and look, we've all done that. I've had poo up me face. I've had wee in me face. I've had it in me mouth.
That's not me, by the way.
No, that's not Dave, no. I've had it everywhere. It's just what, and look, I know it's a big adjustment as a new dad, and it is a bit of a mad one. But you've got to look, if you cannot love and care for your little fella, then who can you love and care for? Get over it. Stop being a big wuss and get into it. I have to say, though, Alex, who's now my eldest, but the firstborn, we used terry towel and nappies because Jane went all hippie chick and didn't want to, like, you know, put bleached stuff next to his little todger and all that, which was cool. But there was one pressure point that I have to say that dads were, that I particularly was a bit worried about, with a big, you know, that massive nappy pin. Yeah. And I used to, the amount of times I stuck myself, because I put my hand, I got this really good routine of, like, stabbing myself in the hand, retrieving it, and then putting it up through the other side of the nappy. So that's a bit of a big one. I'm not sure what they have these days.
You've got Velcro. Reusables. So they've got Velcro on them. So if they're reusable, it's much, much easier. Or some of them have got this clever tie, but they don't use the pins anymore, which is really clever.
Oh, wow, that's great. Well, you've got now to complain about and get over yourself.
Let's think about this. Right. Like you say, Si, if you don't look after your own, one day his kid's going to have to look after him at that age. And somewhere on the line, you just got to go, I really hope someone gives me some dignity and does it nicely and privately and just doesn't mind because they just love me.
Yes, but you see, I got it right. I've never changed a nappy in my life.
There you are. See,
no,
yes,
I haven't.
You have.
No, I haven't. I've got stepchildren. They came into my life when they were well and truly house trained. It's how it should be.
You changed James's nappy. All right, granted, he didn't have a poo, but he had a wee, and it was in Holly Avenue. Oh, no, it was in Breton. No, Holly Avenue. You changed our James's nappy. Because I think I had my hands full of something, flour or something. I goes, oh, Dave, he's done a wee. Changed
in my mind, the horror of it all.
Oh, no. Too much of book sales on the basis you just said, I had my hands full of flour, implying you're cooking.
I was.
And there was a nappy on the left-hand side. Maybe those two don't go together.
No, he was in the other room.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
No, no. Allegedly, he sent me, you see, to save his hands.
Yeah. Good, good.
Yes.
Do you know what? I'll say something really disgusting that'll probably, you know, freak you all out. But as a mum, when you're changing your son or your kid's nappy, your daughter's nappy, there is something you still love about their poo and their wee. There's a smell of a nappy of your own child.
It is.
There is something about it that goes, oh. What? And I slightly miss a baby nappy smell. When they start eating broccoli, I'd admit, you don't like it.
Yeah, it's not great, no.
I wouldn't want it in my face and up my nose, I'll give him that. But at the same time, there's something quite special that you're privileged to do that role and teach your child to not do that, maybe. I wouldn't hose him in the garden. I'd be on social services by now.
Yeah. Hold on, this is bloke water cannoning's child. That's it. Oh, God.
Well, if you're down, now don't get drunk.
Don't get drunk.
Just send an email
to the Agony Uncles.
And now it's time for Confidential Corner. And for this, which is called My 76-Year-Old Love Dilemma, I need a male and a female name. And just to give you a little context, the male and female in question are 75 and 76 years old. So appropriate names, please. Uncle Si and Uncle Dave.
I'll go Florence.
Florence.
And Godfrey.
Florence and Godfrey.
Good name.
Yes.
Or together they could be GoFlo.
Hey!
We know it's great. I do like how this has been written from Florence here. Dear David and Simon, which is David and Simon.
Oh, how nice, class.
Dear David and Simon. And Natasha. I'm 75 years old. But I'm young at heart. I listen to lots of podcasts, you see, and I always enjoy your television programmes. You both seem very kind, so I'd like to turn to you for some advice. I'm a widow, have been for 5 years, and last year moved from the family home into a retirement home. Our house was lovely, but much too large for me to live in on my own, and I do like my little apartment and the people I now live alongside very much. It's a real shared community, but I do get my own privacy too. A little while ago, I became friendly with another resident, Godfrey. Now, Godfrey is a year older than me, and also on his own. When I say friendly, I have to say it's become much more than that, and I can't believe what a difference it's made to my life. Rather than thinking about the aches and pains as I used to, I now think about the days out we have planned and what I might make him for dinner when he comes round. We laugh, we sing, we have a jolly good time, and yes, I even feel those little teenage flutters again when I get a text message or some flowers from him.
Oh, this is great!
Lovely, isn't it? Unfortunately, my daughter isn't as thrilled as I am. Quite the opposite. When I told her about this, she just kept saying, "But what will other people think?" I said I'd really just like her to be happy for me, but she says I'm too old for all this nonsense and people would just think I'm silly.
Oh, Godfrey, that's horrible.
Every now and then, Godfrey and I have what you call a date night, and we stay over at each other's flats. 2 weeks ago, this caused a bit of a problem. Godfrey and I had gone to bed and removed our hearing aids, which meant we didn't hear my daughter let herself in. Nor did we hear when she called out and came into the bedroom. Only when she shrieked did we hear her, at which point Godfrey jumped from the bed to reveal himself in the altogether, standing very proudly, shall we say.
Good man!
There followed a long, long silence, and then my daughter left. We've had an angry phone call since, but nothing more. And again, she just kept repeating, "But Mum, what will people think? Is she right? Am I just being a silly old woman?" And that's from Florence.
The daughter is completely wrong, completely inappropriate. Florence and Godfrey, you need all the happiness you can get in the twilight of your years. Who knows, it could be another 20 years. One thing that we learned when we did Meals on Wheels, Kingy, do you remember?
I do.
That if you're 80, 90, you've got your health, you've got a few quid, you can have a blooming good time, a really, really, really good, exciting life. And to be able to share that in the companionship with someone you love, love sparing time with, sharing your bed with, is a treasure that is so, so precious. So Flo and Godfrey, go for it. And she's going to have to grow up.
Yeah, I agree.
So do I, because the thing is that she's more worried about what other people would think. So it's all about her. It's got nothing to do with you two, because you two are clearly really happy, loving spending time together, and it's just great. What a lovely thing to do. So she just knows she's absolutely 100% morally, emotionally wrong.
This daughter's got a really happy mum, a mum that's got a life, and she should be so thrilled for her. I mean, it sounds like jealousy through and through, if you ask me. Maybe her daughter hasn't got a relationship. But I mean, ultimately, I love it. I'm almost tempted to start a hashtag if I was young and cool enough. Go Flo. I think it's brilliant. I mean, Flo totally deserves that.
Yeah, remember, they're both independent. They both have their own apartments, so they go on date nights. They're not dependent on anybody. You know, they've got their own lives. And absolutely not. They've just got to be allowed to get on with it and enjoy it, and thank God they found each other.
Do you know what my tip to Flo would be, though? I'm thinking, Flo, if she's going to have this relationship, she needs to not give her daughter this key anymore. Because what was the daughter doing walking straight in? If she was on her own, you go, OK, have a key, I might have fallen over, do by all means come in. But now she's got a relationship, maybe it's time to say, actually, you're not going to walk in whenever you want, ring me, let me know when you're popping over, and you won't catch Godfrey like that again.
Well, I think Godfrey's worthy of admiration as he's standing there singing, "I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts, get out of my bedroom." Do you know what I mean?
And how? What a compromising position Godfrey would have felt like he was in. You know, that he would have got a shock. I mean, clearly not that much of a shock, but he got a shock, and that's horrible. Everybody deserves a little bit of privacy and dignity. It's just wrong. So no, Flo, you are absolutely not wrong.
No, stick with Godfrey and have a blooming good time.
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
If your life's in a mess, then the email address is theagonyuncles@thehairybikes.co.uk. Yeah.
Well, as always, thank you so much for contacting the show and sending us your problems. It's fab.
We have a bulging post bag, you know what I mean? It's not a euphemism. But there's always room for more. So send your trials and tribulations in to agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. That's agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk.
And look, you know, everybody says this after a podcast, but we'll try and make it as happy as possible. But please help us out by following the podcast, and you can also rate and review it. I mean, we're in like, we want to be number one. We're in the top 15. Come on. Come on, Agony Uncle followers. And that means we can speak to more people and spread the love even further, dudes. So come on, it's down to you.
So, from Posh Tash.
Bye.
The Thin White Duke.
Oh, goodbye, goodbye.
And us too. We hope you have a wonderful week. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Lots of love.